Psalm 116 is our reading this morning. You have authorized versions of the Holy Scripture before you. In the pew, pick up the Bible, turn to 640, page number 640 in that Bible, and you'll find Psalm 116. I want this morning to read this scripture to you, and you'll read it with me, taking your time for me. I love the Lord because he hath heard my voice and my supplications. Because he hath inclined his ear unto me, therefore will I call upon him as long as I live. The sorrows of death have compassed me, and the pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. Then called I upon the name of the Lord. O Lord, I beseech thee, deliver my soul. Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Yea, our Lord is merciful. The Lord preserveth the simple. I was brought low, and he helped me. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. For thou hast delivered my soul from death, mine eyes from tears, and my feet from falling. I will walk before the Lord in the land of the living. I believe, therefore have I spoken. I was greatly afflicted. I said in my haste, all men are liars. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. O Lord, truly I am thy servant. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving, and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now, in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. And God will stamp the reading from his infallible book with his very own divine blessing and seal of approval. Two texts of scripture. The first in the psalm that we read, Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. And a New Testament scripture in the 14th chapter of the book of Revelation and verse 13. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. The word blessed, both in the Hebrew text and in the Greek text, is happiness. So the text actually says, happy are the dead which die in the Lord. That's contrary to all earthly findings, contrary to all that man thinks about death, contrary to all the fears that are engendered because of death. Oh, the happiness of the person who dies in the Lord. But of course that happiness is expressed over here in this psalm. For it says, precious. Doesn't say how sad is the death of the saints. It doesn't say how dreadful is the death of the saints. It doesn't say how fearful is the death of the saints. It says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. Why is that? Because every step in the existence and in the earthly sojourn of his people is a step surrounded by his love and filled with his mercy. Where did it all begin? It began in eternity, before the hills in order stood, or earth received its frame. Before an angel's wing disturbed the ether of heaven and flew past the everlasting throne of the triune everlasting God and shouted, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Before that, when the Father had in his bosom, his eternal bosom, his well-beloved Son, and when the Spirit communicated the true Father and Son God, the Holy Ghost, in the silence, in the mystery, in the immensity, in the indescribable eternity, God loved his people. And what did he do with them? He put them into Christ. Before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:13, he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. He loved us before there was an angel or an archangel. He loved us from eternity. There never was a time when the Almighty God didn't love his people. And there never will be a time, hallelujah, that he'll cease loving his people. And then he loved them when they were in the womb of their mother. Turn over to Psalm 149. And what do we read there? We read there these wonderful words of Holy Scripture, and these words of Holy Scripture are amazing. It says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he goes on to tell us not only that, he goes on to tell us something more. He goes on to tell us of the wonder of our making. Before there was anything formed of us, when we were in the womb of our parents, he loved us. When we were conceived in the hidden parts of the earth, he loved us. And then when we came into life, he loved us. He saw to it that we were born not dead, but alive. He preserved our mother's life and gave us new life. As the old Puritan said, he did four things for the saints of God. First of all, they were born and brought in because he loved them. And we are children of the promise Romans 9:8 and Galatians 4:20. The sure promise of God. I'm a child of promise. Why? Because God loved me. And then the old Puritan said, he not only saw us all born and brought up, he saw us all educated and brought. He saw us all born and brought in. He saw us all educated and brought up. And as we developed in life, God loved us. Loved us as a child. Loved us as we came to manhood and womanhood. Loved us in our maturity. Loved us to the end of life. Precious is the sight of the Lord and the death of the saints. Why? They're precious. They've been precious from all eternity. They've been precious in their mother's womb. They have been precious in their begetting into God's family and their education by God and the Holy Spirit. But not only did he see us born and brought in and educated and brought up, but he saw us supported and brought through. God has provided for us. He has protected us. He has preserved us. That's why we're here this day. We have not only been born and brought in by him and educated and brought up, but we have been supported and brought through every trial. If you had known the trials you had to come through, you would have shivered. But he brought them through you all, through them all. If you had known the sadness along life's pathway, you would have wept. If you had known the bitter cup some days you had to drink, you have been scared off, wouldn't you? But God made the bitter cup sweet. God made the shadows a valley of light. God has done all things well. You know why? Because he loves you. He loves you. You're precious to him. Precious in the sight of the Lord. As the death of sin. And then the old Puritan brought his sermon to the end, and he said they were all perfected and brought home. And Jesus stands in Hebrews 2:13, we read he stands and he says, here am I, Father, and the children that thou hast given me. I've brought in them all. Not a child of God will be lost. Away with Arminian nonsense that you can be saved and lost. God saves us forever. A man said to me once, I could never keep it, therefore I can't be saved. I said, that's the wisest thing you ever said. You cannot keep it. And if you're going to be saved on the basis of keeping it, you'll never be saved. But it's God that saves you. It's God that keeps you. It's God that preserves you. It's God that guides you. And it's God that brings you to heaven. When I was with my parent, I would put my hand up and my father or mother would take my hand. It wasn't my grip of my parent's hand that got me safely across the road. It was the grip. It wasn't the grip of my hand and my parents' hand that got me across the road. It was the grip of my father or mother's hand on me. The Lord said, thy rod and thy staff shall comfort me. I remember my dad saying to me once, why did the Lord say that? I said, why did the psalmist say that? I said, I don't know. He says, because the sheep knows who is on the end of the rod. It's the gentle shepherd. And his rod and his staff comfort me. Who's holding the rod? My Jesus. Who's holding the staff? My Jesus. It must be well with me. He's there. And so when a believer comes to die, that believer was loved in eternity. Was loved in his mother's womb. was loved when he was born and educated and supported and perfected by God. And when God calls that believer home, God is the happy God. Oh, the happiness of God when he brings his children home. God is happy. Naturally we mourn. Naturally we wear our black cloth of mourning. Naturally there is a pain in our hearts. And there is sorrow in our depths. But not so with God. He has brought the child home. Another of his family has made it. And every one of the family that makes heaven brings near the day when we'll all be there. Washed in the blood of the Lamb. I love my pulpit. I love my preaching. I love the work I do. But my, it'll be nothing to the work that I'll do in the glory land. There to see him. There to be with him. There in an everlasting congregation that never breaks up and never says goodbye. And that brings me to the second text. Happy! Happy are the dead which die in the Lord. What is this? This is the happiness, the great happiness of survival. When you get to heaven, you'll thank God that you have survived. I don't know how a glorified spirit becomes conscious that they're in heaven. You used to say at home, pinch yourself and see, are you all right? My, what a blessed pinch that'll be when I say I have arrived. It's all over. Not another mountain to climb. Not another river to cross. Not another tear to shed. Not another bit of anguish to endure. Not another disappointment to overwhelm me. It's all over. I have resolved. I have made it. Praise God, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Old Newton, John Newton, said he would have three surprises when he got to heaven. Number one. He says, I'd be surprised at people I thought would be there. And they weren't there. And then he said, I'd be surprised that there will be people there that I never thought would be there. And then I'd be surprised I've made it myself. Oh, what a heavenly surprise will it be when we share the happiness of survival. At his death, the believer goes to be with Christ, and the happiness of survival will be his. Who shall separate us from the love of God? All the pangs and pains, the tears and trials, the fights and the fire, the battles and the beatings, all over forever. We were singing about it today. Forever with the Lord. But there's a second source of happiness to the glorified Christian. And that's the happiness of arrival. Not only survival, but arrival. Where do we arrive at? We arrive at heaven. And wonder of wonders, there's not a gate in the holy city of God close to us. There are 12 gates in heaven. You'll pick the one you want to go in. Did you ever think about that? For they're all open gates, all 12 of them. So if you don't like the eastern gate, you can go in the western one. And if you don't like the southern gate, you can go in the north one. All these 12 gates, choose what one you're going to go in. We had people used to come here, the Murphys, and they used to sing and play their stringed instruments. And they used to talk about meeting one another at the Eastern Gate. But you don't need to meet at the Eastern Gate. You can meet at the Western Gate. All the gates of heaven always open night and day for the people of God. What a revival. Samuel Rutherford said, I'll bless the hand that guided. I'll bless the heart that planned. When throne where glory dwelleth in Emmanuel's land. When I was a lad running to school, my dear mother taught me that hymn. We think of the land over there, the country so bright and so fair. And after its glories professed, but what must it be to be there? We speak of its freedom from sin, from sorrow, temptation, and care, from trouble without and within. But what must it be to be there? To be there! To be there! Oh, what must it be to be there? If you get to heaven before me, one day you'll hear a shout, and it will be my voice with better tuning and sweeter tone than ever before. And I'll say, heaven, I'm in. Angels, I'm in. Saints of God, I'm in. But blessed Jesus, I'm in. You died for me. You shed your blood for me. You gave your back to the smiter and your cheek to those that plucked off the hairs for me. Blessed Jesus, amen. Oh, what must it be to be there? But there's another happiness to the saint. And the happiness of the saint is the apparel that he wears. Recently, there was a competition for the best-dressed politician in Northern Ireland. And my son won that, because I told him how to dress, and so did his mother, and he won it. And there was all sorts of talk about where he got his clothes. But one day, at the cross, God gave me a suit that I'll wear for all eternity. And where did it come from? From the wardrobe of Christ. It was Christ's best suit, the suit of his righteousness. And when I arrive in heaven, I'll be clothed in the righteousness of Christ, the spotless, seamless robe of Jesus. Not a speck on it, not a spot on it, not a sin on it, pure as God himself. The happiness of the apparel of the saints. These are they that came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. To wear that robe, to put it on and never take it off forever, shining in the glorious righteousness of the Savior. Oh, the happiness of survival. Oh, the happiness of arrival. Oh, the happiness of the apparel. But there is another thing. There is the happiness of the marvel of the city of God. You know why? Everyone there which will be like Jesus. You're going to be beautiful in heaven because you're going to be stamped with the image of Christ. You're going to bear forever the image of the Savior. What will it be to be like Christ? I've tried through the sanctification of the Holy Ghost to be like Jesus. I have tried to think as Jesus would have me think, and do as Jesus would have me do, and so has every child of God. But we have had to battle with sin, and the weakness of the depraved spirit, and the power of the world, the flesh and the devil. But one day, we're all going to be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Mr. Spurgeon had a great friend, Andrew Bonner, a free church minister in Scotland. Andrew Bonner wrote a great book, Christ in the Psalms. What a book it is. And when he wrote it, Spurgeon wrote him a wee note, and he said, "Dear Andrew, I'm enjoying your book. Would you send me a photograph of yourself, and I'll paste it in the front of it. And when I open the book, I'll look at it, and I'll pray for you." And Andrew Bonner sent him a photograph. But he wrote in the photograph, "I wish, Charlie, you could have waited a little. For one day, I'll be like Jesus. One day, I'll be like Jesus." Oh, friends, aren't you glad you're saved? Every day I bless God as I wake up, I'm glad I'm a child of God. I'm glad I'm washed in the blood. I'm glad I'm born again of the Spirit. I'm glad every step of this day is heavenward and not hellward. Is to light and not to darkness. Is to joy and not to shame. Is to freedom and not eternal incarceration in the prison house of the damned. If you're here today and you're not saved, I would urge upon you, dear hearer, to come to Christ. Take him as your Savior. How different is the death of those that are not in Christ. This text is limited. It says, "Blessed are the dead that die in the Lord." What? You're not in the Lord and you die? Dreadful. Eternally dreadful is the state of the soul that dies without Christ. Out of Christ, without a Savior. Oh, can it be like a ship without a rudder on a dark and storm-tossed sea? Oh, dear sinner, I plead with you by the crown of thorns that Jesus wore, by the blood drops that he shed, by the agony of his accursed death for you. Go to the cross and kneel there and never rise until you know that you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And then when you die, all will be well. I trust that everyone in this meeting this morning will pray that great prayer. Then, O my Lord, prepare my soul for that great day. O wash me in the precious blood and take my sins away. May it be so for Jesus' sake. Let's bow our heads. Father, we thank thee for thy sweet presence today. We thank thee that we're going to the happy land. We remember singing that as a child, the happy land, and what a land it is. Thank you, Father, that you loved us from all eternity, and that you made choice of us in Christ before the foundation of the world. We thank you for preserving us in our mother's womb, for preserving us through all the storm-tossed time on earth. And you've prepared a place for us in heaven. And we're going home. We're a day's march nearer home. Oh God, help us to work for Thee, for the night cometh when no man can work. And we pray for those that are not saved in our service, that today they will come to Christ and trust in the Savior's blood. So be with us, for Christ's great name's sake. Amen and amen.